Good. Just kind of waiting for the draft to start in about 25 minutes. Just
okay.
To see what happens there. They'll have the first two rounds tonight and drag it all out for TV instead of being able to get through with it in a day and a half. It'll take 3 days now.
Okay. Well, you know, that's you got to have the TV for it. So it'll be on MLB Network?
Have to find programming, baby.
All right.
And instead of going bang, 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 they now have to take their 15 minutes in between because, you know, you got commercials and all those other things scheduled.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they used to do the entire draft in a day and a half?
Yeah, basically 2 days.
Okay.
How many rounds is the baseball draft, this one?
They only allow 40. They changed that several years ago. It can go 40 rounds is all.
40 rounds. That's amazing to see.
50 for a while, and then, you know, at one point it was teams would get into the 90s, you know, just taking players. But as the minor leagues have been reduced, they've reduced the draft quite vividly.
So are we seeing mainly high school seniors, or is it a good mix of seniors and college guys? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, you'll probably see a lot more college guys taken, especially in the later rounds, because more signable, they'll take college seniors to fill out rosters is what they'll do.
You still see a lot of the high school seniors being taken. Is there a trend either way on how the draft has gone the last few years? Are they trending more or less in terms of high school seniors getting taken?
I think it's more towards the college players just because it's a little more of a proven product that they've got a few more years. But, early rounds, teams don't shy away that much from high school players because they're looking at the elite guys. But as they get farther, as they get to the middle on down, then they really start to turn more towards college players because, one, they're going to sign easier because, you know, they won't have maybe a college opportunity ahead of them. They'll have a college opportunity ahead of them, but the college player won't. He'll be finishing his junior or senior year, so they'll be a little more likely to be interested in signing.
Where are the big names coming out of? Who are some of the names to watch? Who are some of the names you're interested in over the next day or so?
Well, I get more interested in the kid out of kids out of that the Rockies might have interest in.
Okay.
And it's a handful. I mean, there's quite a few even in the first round. As Billy Schmidt said, you know, all these people who want to predict our draft, it's kind of neat because then I get an idea of who they think we ought to take. But he said, truth of the matter is, when you're drafting 22nd, you got no idea who's going to be there by the time it becomes your opportunity to draft. There's really no kids from the region that are going to jump out at you. That, you know, this is back to like the year Nimmo came out. Nimmo was the only kid on the front range from El Paso to Montana in the first three or four rounds, and I think that's what this sounds like this year. There's not really much. Colorado doesn't have a real strong group. Probably their best player, Cole Wynn, transferred out of high school in Colorado to a high school in Orange, California, because he wanted better competition. And if someone were to want to take a high school kid number one, he would probably be the one that's risen up because he's pitched better in that competition than he even did when he was in the Denver area. He made, you know, from if baseball was the focus and baseball was what it was going to be all about, he made a very good decision.
Speaking of Brandon Nimmo, he continues to swing a pretty hot bat for the Mets, and more importantly, just getting on base. We had him on, he was talking about OPS and all that kind of stuff, and his is up like 970, 980 right now, and he's, you know, well over 100 at-bats, I believe. Do you believe he's going to stick right now for them for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think he's finally forced his way into it. You know, I think earlier this year he kind of had to be the extra guy, but I think he's shown the consistency and gives them something at the top of their lineup to make him go, and you know they're finally seeing what we've all seen for a long time, right?
Absolutely. Do you think, okay, you know, we know what Brandon's like, and he is very genuine. He's the smiling, the, you know, just loving to be out there. I'm just guesstimating because I know how the media can be in New York. How long before someone just says it's just blah blah, you know, tired of the act and all that kind of stuff? I mean, we know what it is, but do you see that ever happening, or is he just in with the media right now that it's not going to happen like that?
I just think he's been so professional in how he's handled everything that the New York media, the guys I talk to, take him as a breath of fresh air. And you know, he's got the New York Post is way on his side because Kevin Kernan came back here to Wyomania, went over to the house and did a big piece on him right after he'd been drafted. You know, he didn't get to the minor leagues that first year because they had the agent convince them they were going to get $3 million, and they wound up signing him for what they could have gotten the day of the draft. But, you know, so Kevin came out to meet him and talk to him and really did him has been real supportive of him, and I think that carries over, too, that the image that was created by the media there to start with was the great kid that he is, the quality kid, and how real he is. I mean, there'd be a tendency if you weren't around him to say, okay, this is a facade, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be that nice. You can't be, but I think, you know, he's proven it enough, and to have someone in the media who's a skeptic to begin with be so much behind him, I think that's only helped him. And he's been consistent in who he is. He's had different times where he could have said something that he might look back at later and say, geez, I should have never been that dumb or whatever. But he's been the ultimate professional for a young kid. He's just been someone that his parents should be extremely proud of.
Well, you know what? It was just about a month ago that Mark Tarosa on MLB Network, you know, took umbrage with the fact that, you know, he was smiling ear to ear as he ran the bases on a home run and that sort of thing. And I know Mark's walked those comments back and had kind of had a change of tune on Brandon. But, you know, I know there's been people that have been critical of him for, you know, sprinting down to first and, you know, clapping on his way down there after he gets hit by a pitch and trying to pump his guys up. I mean, are those things that, you know, in a game where there are so many unwritten rules and people just seem to be looking for a reason to be, you know, take umbrage with the next guy, are those things that can kind of wear on guys and kind of maybe make him, a target? Or are those things that, you know, they just understand this is a guy who really loves playing the game and is enjoying himself?
I think as they're around him, as they watch him, as he plays more, as they see him maintain that personality through good times and bad times, people will learn to respect the fact that he has that commitment to the game. And I think that's what he's done. And I think the biggest thing is the only thing you worry about is your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the other team thinks about you, who cares?
Right.
You know, and I think he's been around enough that they realize this kid's for real. This is not some phony personality that someone's trying to put forth. This is like a for real guy being himself you know, his family did a great job. I mean, you can't say enough good things about the kid. I mean, I don't care if he can play or not. You know, just, you know, even when he comes back home to Cheyenne and he goes to the schools and talks to kids about the different things, you know, he feels like he owes something to the kids in Cheyenne. I mean, I think those are all things that, you know, that you don't have, he doesn't have to do that, right? Nobody'd say a word if he didn't go to the elementary schools. Right? Nobody'd say, uh-huh. Oh, I can't believe Brandon Nimmo came home for Christmas and didn't come over to Hobbs Elementary School. But he takes it upon himself because he feels like he owes it to those kids because he's been fortunate. He's real. It's not a phony kid.
Yeah, and we've talked about it on the show, you know, a handful of times now. It's refreshing to see somebody that, even though this is a big business and these people's livelihoods are at stake, that there's somebody who genuinely appreciates the opportunity he's been given and is having fun with it.
Yeah, and he's in New York.
Right.
You know, he's in New York where you can get jaded in a hurry. And, you know, I mean, it's even like living there in the off season, so he can experience what it's about and understand the city better. I mean, he's an amazing kid.
9 minutes into this, and we haven't mentioned the Rockies, Monty, and, you know...
Did you have to bring his name up?
bullpen issues this weekend. My goodness. It was...
this weekend?
Okay, you know, we were told it was going to be super pin, all this kind of stuff. Where are the majority of the problems lying with the bullpen? Obviously, Ottavino, who's injured, he's on the DL, and Wade Davis has been really, really good for the most part this season.
He said, one bad game
right.
yesterday.
But, you know, we were told how good this bullpen was going to be from top to bottom. It definitely isn't the case. I guess what's happened with some of these guys that started off the season really good and just are...
I don't think it was necessarily like anybody had to convince anyone it was going to be good. They looked at the names, they looked at the track records and said, you know, this will be good. If they can get Ottavino turned around, it would be unbelievable. Well, Ottavino's gotten turned around. But, you know, personally, the Shaw signing was the one thing that I kind of questioned because he'd had five great years of over 70 games each year. And with relief pitchers, if you watch them, they can be cyclical, particularly in that role where they get worn down. And, you know, to have a guy put together five consecutive years of being pretty steady out of a bullpen is shocking. And, you know, I think that caught up with him. What happened to Ottavino last year, and why is he the way he is this year? You know, if those are questions that you never know. But I mean, if you go back and just as an observer and you look down the roster coming into the season, you thought, boy, this bullpen's going to be dynamite. I mean, but you know, Russin. You know, you're looking at the guys here, and that's probably as big of a thing as any. You're looking at say Russin and Oberg as good as they were last year, right? And those are your 6th and 7th inning, 5th, 6th, 7th inning guys. Those are the guys that kind of get through the rough spot for you. They haven't done it this year. They've both been sent back to the minor leagues and brought back up. I mean, it's something that's going to have to get turned around they're going to have to get back in place if the team's going to have a chance. But, you know, that was a commitment they made. They felt like they had other things in place. But, kind of nice when you can talk about what a miserable couple months it's been and they're in second place.
Only a game and a half back. I was reading some stuff on Twitter and everything about Charlie Blackmon and, you know, just his struggles recently at the plate and everything like that. Is he, do you feel like he's 100% healthy? Do you feel like something's nagging him? What's going on, do you think, with Charlie?
Well, I just think it's adjustments. I think what happens is pitchers each year will try to do some things different. They'll watch videos. They'll try to see what they can find. And guys that have consistent seasons are the guys that make the adjustments in a hurry and respond to it, like an Arenado's done. You know, Arenado could have gotten frustrated over the fact that he wasn't getting pitches to hit for home runs, but instead came to a real quick realization that they weren't going to pitch him that way, and he was going to have to make some adjustments in that. You know, better than getting frustrated and hitting 240 because he's not getting the ball where he can pull it and hit it out of the ballpark will be to continue to hit. And if you continue to hit, you'll get the mistakes. And when you get the mistakes, you'll make up for it. And I think we've seen him do that lately. But you know, it's like people talk with pitchers, oh, there's a sophomore jinx, right? It's not a sophomore jinx. It's that hitters make adjustments, and then it depends on how quickly that pitcher can adjust in that sophomore season. Some guys never have a problem because they adjust quicker. Some guys get buried because they start to doubt themselves. And, you can't doubt yourself. You just have to move. You just have to make your adjustments and move forward.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Tracy, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.